This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Nice little way to ease into your Saturday morning. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Also available on the app at 810WHB.com. We are live at Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Fan Fest today. It is absolutely packed. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show back at the Rally House Studios. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Our coverage today is sponsored by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. Just a quick update from Chiefs training camp. Again, it is training camp, but if you're looking for some good stuff, Patrick Mahomes is on the field furthest away from us, and they're working on third down and two situations inside the 10, and Pat Mahomes threw it into double coverage for a touchdown to Sammy Watkins. Good-looking stuff out there. Charlie Carlin ran the numbers on Mahomes' first drive today, 3 for 6, around 20 yards, threw in about 3 wheel routes, hit Kelsey on a play, and off target a couple of times. So pretty good stuff from Chiefs training camp right now. In front of us, unfortunately, we got Matt McGloin and Chase Linton. It's all good. I mean, you got to see everybody, but I would prefer Mahomes to be over on this field right in front of us, but we'll get it to. And again, it's a packed house today. If you're stuck in traffic, just be patient because there are a lot of folks out here. And remember to have your money ready for parking. And this is the one day they charge admission, too. So have your money out there. And if you're looking for a hot tip, instead of using that main exit because it's backed up all the way at the ramp, go down to exit 47 and then put in the school's address in your phone and you can get in the back way and there's a lot less traffic back there. A little hot tip for you. How about that? So the Chiefs are working out today and we're going to be up here till noon. Set the show up for you. Nick Garcia is going to join us at 9:25, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender. Sporting has a big game tonight down in Houston, a place where they have not played well the last few years, and Sporting has not played well the last 5 weeks, and they're getting dangerously close to that playoff cut line. So they've got to get some things figured out. So Nick Garcia will join us at 9:25. At 10:30, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, who is up here at Chiefs training camp, is going to join us. He's part of the new podcast they have over at Channel 41 called Fourth and One. Get it? Fourth and One, Channel 41.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Very, very clever, right? Right, Jed?
That's pretty strong. You know that Mick Schaefer, he likes crafting the jokes, so I bet he was involved on that.
You just never know what he's going to come up with.
Well, the funny part is that his brother's actually a comedian, and everybody thinks Mick's funny, so I'd actually like to sit down with his brother and hear, you know, the funny Schaefer.
Well, the thing is, I've always thought, because Scott travels a lot, that's his brother. You can follow him on Twitter, although it's very, I'd say it's adult content. You don't want to bring him on a live radio show. I've always thought about it, like when he does his tours all over the country. If he comes to Kansas City, hey, let's have Scott on the radio show. And then you read his tweets and it's like, well, maybe not.
I'm not even sure why we have Mick on the radio show. I'm always like, oh, gosh, that guy's a clown.
Man, Mick is hilarious. Mick is one of I worked with Mick for like 15, 16 years. Easily one of the funniest people I know. Absolutely.
I'm busting chops for a couple of reasons. One, yes. Mick is out of town, so I don't think he's listening on the app.
No.
And two, because Mick's a good enough guy and can take it.
Yes, he is. And if he actually was listening, he could throw a zinger back at you that would probably be 10 times better.
I don't know. You've heard me off the air. I'm pretty clever.
Yeah. You have that subtle, sneaky way to make a joke or jab people without them knowing it.
Yep, the snark. I appreciate it. That's a gift from my mom.
They don't know it. So Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, coming up at 10:30. And then at 11 o'clock, Josh Looney, the athletics director here at Missouri Western State University, where the Chiefs are having training camp in St. Joe, is going to join us. He worked for the Chiefs for many years. He's a Kansas City guy, went to Blue Valley Northwest High School, was a pretty good running back. Went on and played in college, and he's running the show here now. So maybe we'll press him to see if he's putting, if he's in having negotiations with the Chiefs to make sure to keep him here in St. Joe. Josh is a master craftsman when it comes to contracts and getting people committed. So, and we got Patrick Mahomes right in front of us now, by the way. So we're going to watch him over the next few minutes. I apologize if I interrupt my thought every couple of minutes to update you on what Patrick Mahomes II is doing, but it is imperative we get as much information to the folks as possible. As I said, it is packed up here in St. Joe today. It's Family Fun Day, and kids are up here to get autographs. And I cannot imagine, Jed, I don't know. I cannot imagine what the swell of people around Patrick Mahomes II is going to be like when they start this autograph session, because every player has to sign autographs today.
I know that the other day when he was on with Kevin, there were people just crowding around the tent, and Kevin equated it to even bigger, you know, a bigger phenomenon than when Montana was here. He was saying people were, you know, trying to reach out and actually, you know, just like get a chance to touch Patrick Mahomes like he was a Beatle or something. So the fans are fans for a reason, short for fanatic, and I know people are really excited. I was hanging out with a few friends last night, and that was all they wanted to talk about.
Sure. Why not? Damian Williams, by the way, is running with the number ones at running back right now. So it looks like they're working on running plays right now. So I know the fans are waiting for Patrick Mahomes to unload it down the field, but they're doing running scenarios right now in front of us. We have the big tent right down in the corner by the field. We're the only radio station broadcasting from Chiefs training camp, by the way. I don't know if you heard that the last couple of weeks. By the way, shout out to Stephen St. John. Great coverage the last 2 weeks from up here at Chiefs training camp. The interview with Mitch Morse that I believe aired yesterday on the Border Patrol was fantastic. He even threw in a reference to A1 sauce, A1 steak sauce, which I thought was hilarious. He is a great interview.
A1 steak sauce is delicious, but yeah, Stephen always does a great job, and Mitch Morris being a Mizzou guy, that's right up Stephen's alley.
Oh yeah, I mean that was already baked in the cake on that one. A1 steak sauce. I don't put steak sauce on a steak.
I don't put it on a steak either. But if I'm eating like a Philly cheese steak sandwich,
okay, I got you.
There you go.
Because I don't think if you went to a good steakhouse in Kansas City and asked for A1 steak sauce, I think the chef would come out and just run you right out of the restaurant.
Yeah, they'd laugh you out of there if you went down to Anton's and were like, oh, yeah, I want this, you know, medium rare, and can I also get a little bit of A1? They'd be like, no, you can leave, actually.
What do you call, at a fancy restaurant, what is the person called who is standing at the desk? Not the greeter, but
the maitre d'?
Maitre d', thank you. The maitre d' would be immediately at your table asking you to leave. Sir, could you please stand up and leave? The other guests are offended that you asked for steak sauce, and the chef is also offended, so you will have to go.
Please pay your tab first before leaving.
Yes, absolutely. So we're at Chiefs training camp all day today. We're going to have some fun up here. Update on the injuries. The injury tent is quite crowded this morning for the Kansas City Chiefs. Anthony Hitchens, Reggie Ragland, who's been out for a significant period of time now, Eric Fisher, who got dinged up on Thursday, Derek Nnadi, Cam Irving, who was dinged up on Thursday, Marcus Kemp, and Sharkhendrick West, who's been out since last week with the concussion protocol. So a lot of players are out, with the offensive line filling in at those number one spots, Andrew Wiley at left tackle and Brian Weitzman at left guard. Now, again, it's early in camp. You're less than a week away from the first exhibition game, so it's getting closer to being a concern when you have that many guys injured. Not panic time yet. Still plenty of time to get healthy. But if you're one of those guys who's trying to make the team, if you're down second, third, fourth on the depth chart, you cannot afford to be hurt. I know a lot of guys. I just ran into Richard Baldinger, by the way, former Chiefs offensive lineman. He's out here today. He's going to be up here, I think, all week. So maybe we'll see if we can get him on the show next week on Sports Night if he's up here. But players will tell you the most important thing in training camp not only is performing, but staying healthy, especially for down roster guys. If you cannot stay healthy, you will not break camp with the team. It's just a simple fact. Can't make the club if you're in the tub, is what Theodis Brown used to tell me, former Chiefs running back. So we'll keep an eye on those injured players for you today. It looks like Chad Henne is now running the offense for the Chiefs, so Mahomes is done with their running session. Oh, I know. That's when the fans can take a break. It's like, okay, Mahomes is out. By the way, the number of autograph hounds out here is quite spectacular. People that bring the painted footballs, you know, the white NFL footballs where you can get the signatures on there, but the guys bring them in those specially sealed wrapped plastic bags so as not to get a speck of dust on them. Got a lot of those guys out here today. But mostly it's Mostly it's families.
I wouldn't doubt that there are a lot of those guys out there. I bet some of our great listeners to the Chiefs Kingdom are out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw, who did I see last weekend? I think I saw X Factor out here last weekend. One of the guys that's easily identifiable by his jacket and his, it's a red and yellow cheese head, I think.
Yeah, it's a arrowhead.
It's painted. It's an arrowhead.
He always makes sure to have his Bluetooth in, though.
Absolutely. You never know. You never know when somebody's going to need to talk to you.
I guess. Are Bluetooth still a thing? Do people really use those? Why wouldn't you just put in, you know, like the headphones that come with your iPhone?
Think of how much money this country spent on Bluetooth equipment over the years, and now they're virtually non-existent.
Rudy informs me that it's all about the AirPods now, which are the wireless Apple headphones. He said that's the new jam.
I don't trust it. I think they'd fall out too easily. Like if you're going for a run, I wouldn't trust the wireless headphones.
Rudy says he has tried them and he is a fan and that they work well. So if you go out and buy a pair at Not That Rudy, tweet him and harass him.
Well, it might be better than the regular earbuds, because the cords on those break so easily, just like the chargers. You want to know why Apple is worth $1 trillion?
They make quality products, except for their chargers and headphones?
Yes, except for the things that you have to buy repeatedly. Because, like, if you break your phone, it's like, oh, my God, I got to spend another, what, $500 to $600? But if your earbuds snap or your battery charger snaps, it's like, okay, I'll go buy another one, I guess. That's how you make a trillion. That's how you get a company to be worth $1 trillion. I can't believe that. That's got to be more than the gross national product of, like, what, 50 countries?
While we're going down extremely profitable companies, Brad, do you know what I found out last night?
What is that?
Fortnite, a very popular game amongst many of our Chiefs players out there, makes $300 million a month.
Wow. Who makes Fortnite? Is it just its own company?
A profitable company.
Well, what I heard is, I asked my kids about it, why it's so popular. It's always different every time you play. It's never the same. So, you know, the old days, Pac-Man, it's pretty much the same.
Yes, I got a tutorial in Fortnite last night from my buddy Jason's son, Liam, who's 11. And, yeah, he informed me about many different things. He was able to get his character to do the floss dance and do the L, and there was a rocket launcher game, and you go around to different islands. It's insane. I see the appeal of it. I'm too old, obviously, to play it, though.
Yeah, there were several soccer players at the World Cup who were doing the floss dance.
Antoine Griezmann being primary amongst those. And Rudy informs me it's Epic Games that makes Fortnite.
Epic Games. Well, congratulations to the folks at Epic Games. Now you got to come up with something even better. If they're smart enough to build a game like that, they got to be smart enough to come up with the next big thing, right? I would think.
I mean, they've made $300 million a month for a year. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary. So I would assume that they are continuing to put more and more code out. And it's actually funny. Rudy and I were talking about this last night in between breaks, how people and more and more parents are going to be pushing their kids into e-games. And you're going to reach a certain level where kids are like, Dad, I don't want to play my video games anymore. I just want to read a book. I want to go outside. Which is a sad reality that we're sitting here in America actually looking at.
You can get college scholarships now. They have e-teams, I guess. I don't know what you call it.
And you don't need to be athletic. You could be a fat tub of goo like me. You just need to play. You need to be good at video games.
Can you imagine, like 10 years from now, 15 years from now, like KU or Mizzou or K-State hires a new athletics director, and they're having a press conference. And like, oh, welcome to Lawrence, Kansas. First of all, great job on turning around the football team by the last AD, finally. Still have Bill Self around, but what are you doing about the E-team, the video game team? Are we going to up our investment in that? Do we have new facilities for those guys? What are we doing for the computer games guys?
I have a feeling that schools like Colorado at Boulder, University of Oregon, UC
absolutely.
Davis would be really good. Places like that, if you get my drift.
Cal Berkeley
would probably be really good. Probably some East Coast smaller schools, but you know, places in like Massachusetts or the District of Columbia or You know, places of that nature, Brad.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking
about. Maybe a Vegas in there.
I can see that. Vegas, but they host. How many game competitions do you think Vegas hosts a year? Do they have, like, the world championships in Vegas?
Probably. That seems like something they would put in, like, Florida, though, for some reason. Like, at Orlando? Mm. I don't know why that feels right.
Ugh, Orlando, you can have it. Take it.
I don't know.
Just a hot, humid, it's built on a swamp. It's built on a landfill, isn't it? I know it's built on a, like, Disney's built on a swamp.
Wow, I didn't know that. Running down Orlando, Brad. Hopefully our Magic contingent.
Exactly.
Kansas City has a huge Orlando Magic contingency. So, man, that's at Brad K. Porter if you want to harass him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Throw it out there. Come at me, Orlando. That's from my days of going down to Royal Spring Training down there, because we would stay in Orlando. You couldn't really stay at Baseball City because there ain't much there. There's a rundown hotel and a Chinese restaurant, and that's about it. That's about what Haines City is. And so we'd just be down and just be miserable. And then when the Royals moved to Arizona, I was like, oh, really? They're going to the middle of the desert to play baseball? In the first year or two, I was like, eh. And then they built it up. I mean, the city's just exploded. It's impossible to drive anywhere in less than 45 minutes. And I like it now. I'm glad they left Orlando. I wish they would have never left Fort Myers, Florida, but that's okay. Speaking of the Royals, did anybody stay up to watch the game last night, the rain delay game, the two rain delay game last night?
I'll be honest. I checked to see what inning they were in, maybe around 11:30, and I was like, "Oh wow, they're still in the fifth. I don't think I'm gonna make it with my alarm going off at 4:45." So I did not.
Well, on the second rain delay, I was like, "Okay, there's no point in this," and I told Josh Briscoe and Rudy Salazar, I'm like, I don't think there's any way they're going to finish this game, and I don't know if they stayed to do a post-game show last night. I don't know why you would.
They did not.
But, okay, good. Good. I felt bad because I traded that show with Josh Briscoe, and then I kept seeing the rain delays. I'm like, oh, no, he's going to be so mad at me. But that second rain delay, the grounds crew could not get the tarp on the field properly. I mean, they were struggling to get it out there, and by the time they got it almost across the field, the field had taken on so much water, and then they had to bring out like a secondary tarp to cover like the first base line and half of the home plate circle because they couldn't get it lined up right. And I look, it's probably heavy. There was a lot of rain on it, but that would not have happened at Kauffman Stadium. I am positive that Trevor Vance, who learned under the master George Toma, would never let something like that happen. That second rain delay, I was ready to cash out because it was already, what, 11:30, 11:45? No, it was maybe 10:30. I was ready to cash out. I'm like, okay, they're gonna bang this game, and we'll move on and play tomorrow, and they'll call it official because they had been, what, they were in the sixth inning. And then I kept seeing tweets from, like, Jeffrey Flanagan, MLB.com, Maria Torres, Kansas City Star. All right, the tarp's coming off. They're going to play. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So at that point, I was like, okay, I've invested this much time, and by the way, the oohs and ahs were just a dropped pass by Tyreek Hill. They were going deep down the field. So if you hear those reactions, I'll kind of try to tell you what's going on here at Chiefs training camp. But last night, I was already invested into the game, and when I found out they were going to keep playing, I was like, okay, I'll stick with it. And they played till almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I think it was 12:56. Honestly, do we need to play that game? Does that game need to be played the full nine innings? A game that is absolutely meaningless in August. Two rain delays that totaled over 2 hours combined. I think it was 2.5 hours combined in rain delays. Was it really necessary that they have to finish that game?
No.
And then you got multimillionaires playing out there on a field that's soaked.
That I don't care as much about. I care more about the fans who actually stayed out there, and there were very few of them, at least after the first rain delay. For those people, what good is it to be like, oh, well, maybe they'll spend more money on concessions? At that point, I'm with you. You call the game, you give the people a rain check, and you say, hey, come back, you know, tomorrow or whenever. But yeah, there's no reason to try and get that turd of a game in between two teams going nowhere.
Right. And nobody wanted to be there. And you're right about the fans. I think Ryan Lefevre was joking at the end of the game last night. There might have been a few dozen fans still at the game. My question was, because that second rain delay happened in the sixth inning, and normally they cut off beer sales in the seventh inning, I'm wondering if the fans were just able to party down for 6.5 hours waiting till the game to resume, huh?
Having spoken with Seth Kaiser many times, and he's talked about the Minnesota winters being real cold, and I'm like, well, what does everybody do? And he mentioned that a lot of people, just stay inside and have a good time. So, yeah, I mean, if it's an hour and a half rain delay, I'm sure that you're like, no, they're not cutting enough until the seventh. I'm going back for another.
I don't know what the ruling is on that. All right, we're coming up on a break here. We're live at Chiefs training camp. I'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on. The folks are packed in. It is standing room only. If you're coming out, if you have a chair in your car and you haven't left your car yet, bring a chair because there is almost no place to sit. And it's three deep at the fence railings right now in front of us. And everybody's getting excited, get autographs from the Chiefs players. So we'll get ready to take a quick time out here. Our Chiefs coverage, by the way, brought to you by Mosaic Live Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Charlie Carlin is here. Oh, and a quick update. Damian Williams is zigging and zagging all the way down the field. And this is a full contact, tackle to the ground day. And this is number one offense versus number one defense. And Justin Houston is a little ticked off at how the defense just performed on that play. But Damian Williams just ripped for about 35 yards down the field, zigzagging and cutbacking. And that was impressive. Damian Williams is going to be fun to watch this year for the Chiefs. All right, a quick timeout. When we come back, Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Kansas City Wizards defender, is going to join us. Big game for Sporting tonight against Houston Dynamo, which you can hear live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pregame at 7:30. Kickoff at 8 o'clock. Back after this quick timeout, we're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is our live show from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri, on the campus of Missouri Western. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Charlie Carlin is out here. Stephen St. John just walked up. He'll be signing autographs. It's autograph day, so you know Stephen's going to be signing autographs. So that'll be fun. It is absolutely packed out here. If you're still stuck on the road, like I said, my best advice is go down to exit 47, one past, and work your way back to campus. There's a back way you can get in. I would wholeheartedly suggest that because these folks out here are 3 and 4 deep at the railings. The stands are full. If you've got a chair, bring it. But it's absolutely awesome out here today as folks are waiting for Family Fun Day and the autograph signings afterwards. Speaking of autographs, I've never gotten an autograph from one of my favorite Sporting KC Wizards defenders, Nick Garcia. Nick, can we rectify that at some point?
Well, you know what? How about you give me yours first and I will happily oblige.
Anything that I sign is immediately devalued. That's the problem.
Well, I guess you're good for something.
If you were going to put that on eBay, if you were going to put something on eBay that I signed, you would have to pay somebody to take it.
Ooh, that bad, huh?
Bad
penmanship, I guess.
Hey, guess what? Pardon me, I'll throw this at you. We'll cross both kinds of football here, soccer and American football here. You're a University of Indiana guy.
Yeah.
Former Chiefs quarterback Trent Green is an Indiana guy, played quarterback there. Have you ever played golf or been to a charity event with Trent Green?
You know what? I have. It was probably back in my playing days, and I think it might have been at Hillcrest Golf Club. So, you know, and he and I kind of struck it up, and that's kind of how we started our conversation. So nothing but good things to say about that guy, and what's even more interesting, right, excuse me, is that over the years I've gotten to be very good friends with Dustin Colquitt.
He started his
football career basically playing soccer and learning how to kick. So, yeah, it is kind of interesting to see some similar connections. And, I can't believe preseason is already here for the Chiefs.
I know.
I can only imagine what it's like to have, you know, a ton of people go and watch you basically practice. But, hey, Chiefs Nation is ready.
And they're hitting hard today. They got the full pads on. And I just saw Kareem Hunt get absolutely lit up by Tre'Mon Smith, one of the rookies, which is fun to see. What I was going to tell you about Trent, because I know when we used to do the TV show together, sometimes you'd bring your Kansas City Wizards championship ring, or you'd bring your Indiana two national championship rings. And I was just thinking, next time you see Trent, have those championship rings on when you shake hands with him to let him know what an Indiana championship ring looks like.
Well, yes, and I think that would be a little bit boastful. And, you know, I believe that when he was at IU, they might have gone to the football team. I think went to the Rose Bowl.
I think they went to
the Bowl. He has that Rose Bowl ring, which is probably a little bit more gaudy and bigger than my championship ring. So he might one-up me there, Brad.
Well, he's another good dude who continues to live in Kansas City, who played professional sports here like you and decided to make Kansas City your home. Tonight, Sporting KC on the road down at Houston. We talked about this a little bit last week. Sporting does not play well in Houston, and Sporting hasn't played well in about 5 weeks right now. They have not made any big signings or transfers yet, so it's up to Peter Vermes and his players to get it figured out, and it's got to happen soon because they're all the way down into fifth place, and they're getting close to that, what I call the playoff cut line.
Yeah, you know, and they're, I think, a little bit more than halfway through the season, you know, call it, 16 games or so left. So, you know, there is some time to make up some ground, but, you know, over the past five games, they've struggled. You know, I think, and it's been a little bit, probably more on the defensive side of things. And I think if you look at Houston, which tends to have your number, I think it's one of those things where, you know, this could be one of the games that just kind of ignites both sides. Sporting has not done well down in Houston. And so, you know, you're also going out Roger Espinoza due to yellow card accumulation. So whether it's been a lack of scoring, a lack of defense, players hurt, now a guy like Roger Espinoza is not going to be in the lineup. So things have not been easy for Peter Vermes or the guys here at Sporting KC. And I would almost expect, you know, him to probably start a mix of fresh young legs with some veteran guys in there so that way they can get some points, because points are at a premium right now.
Right, and Sporting is scoring goals. They're scoring like two a game over the last month and a half, but they're giving up two, three, and four goals a game. And I was reading some of the blogs and some of the guys who really study everything, and it was suggested that perhaps Peter should look at putting Seth Sinovic back in at left back to try to shore it up. Admittedly, he's not as fast as he used to be. He's getting a little bit older as a professional athlete, but he's always been a solid defender. He always runs that left flank well. He can send in crosses, and maybe they need a player like that to kind of spark him a little bit and get him back on track defensively where they need to be.
Yeah, you know, and again, I don't think Seth would be one of those guys to necessarily add a lot of value going forward, but in saying that, I think, you know, being a KG veteran guy, he can hold the fort down, he can do his job, I think he can do it pretty well, but the wild card again becomes, you know, his lack of games here in recent time. Is he going to be prepared and ready? We know that, you know, Houston is typically hot and humid. They have had their own struggles as well, so, you know, that might be one of the, you know, more known pieces that Peter Vermes may go with. You know, Johnny Russell hasn't seen as many minutes here in recent time as he had to start. And maybe that part of that is due to fitness. We know that Johnny has also said that, hey, you know what, he needs to kind of get his body used to this long travel, this you know, humid, hot, you know, North American weather. So, again, I know Peter Vermes has a plan, and I know he's probably feeling the pressure, but, you know, you've got to get the points. And, again, they've scored a lot of goals, but they've also conceded a lot.
We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Kansas City Wizards defender. Sporting at Houston tonight. You can hear that game live on Sports Radio 810 WHB, pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8 o'clock. All right, Nick, typically in soccer, whether it's Major League Soccer or the U.S. men's national team, the media is not allowed in the locker room. They just aren't. The players are brought outside to speak with the media. We don't go into that space. So I can only go from my experience with other sports. So say the Royals are in a bad spot. The doors are closed for an extra 15 to 20 minutes because guys are having it out in there. They're having a closed-door meeting, and then the doors open, and you kind of see the aftermath of, you know, who got, you know, balled out and who was doing the yelling. So back when you played, did things like that happen in a soccer locker room? Were you one of the more vocal leaders? Knowing your personality, I would guess you would be a vocal leader. Is that something that happens?
Yeah. And what's interesting, right, is that, you know, when I started my career here in Kansas City, I was playing with Peter Vermes and Tony Meola and Mike Burns and Mo Johnson and Preti, and we had some very, very, very strong personalities. And it was well known in the locker room that, you know, you respected your elders and the veterans, and you did what you were told. And I think, you know, that was the case, absolutely. I think things have probably changed a little bit when it comes to locker room culture, probably for a lot of sports, because you have younger guys that think they are maybe entitled to more. But in reality, you know, things probably haven't changed all that much. And I would assume, you know, that the veteran leadership there in Sporting KC's locker room, Graham Zuzzi, Beasler, Roger Espinoza, probably even Ily Sanchez, you know, has really held people accountable. And I know that's what Peter wants. That's what he needs. And, you know, you've got to listen to guys. And sometimes, you know, the emotion comes out, so you have to kind of listen to that content, not necessarily how they say things. But, you know, the older guys have kind of been there and done that. They want the best, and sometimes you just kind of have to grab guys by the scruff. So we don't have that luxury of kind of having a closed, you know, 15-minute locker room and you know, kind of like other sports. And, yeah, so it's a little bit different but very similar.
Well, I've gone out to many practices for Sporting KC over the years, I would say a few hundred, and I see guys get after each other on the field. I know Davey Arnault and Jimmy Conrad used to go at it tooth and nail every day, and they're, you know, dropping bombs on each other and that sort of thing. So if a team is struggling like Sporting is now, or if you can remember from your playing days, if you have a team meeting, Is it about a team thing? We're not doing the right things, or do individuals get called out?
Yeah, and I'd say probably a little bit of both. You know, I think one of the nice things about, you know, being out there on the soccer field is, you know, you can hold people accountable there, unlike in probably American football where you've got the pads and, you know, you're kind of being a little bit more, you know, brutal about maybe kind of taking the wood to some guy. But, you know, there were plenty of examples where I would get into altercations with guys on the field. And there were soccer altercations. It wasn't, you know, fisticuffs. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you were probably pissed at somebody. You know, you went back to the locker room, didn't kiss and make up. But, you know, a couple of days later, you guys could kind of sort things out. So, and I have also been in the locker room where guys have been singled out. But I think you have to be careful with that, right? Because that can then fall back in your own face. So I'm always of the persuasion that kind of addressing the group and holding everybody accountable is probably the preferred way to go. And if you have to single somebody out, do it with him behind closed doors. And it can be, I think, a lot more fruitful than, you know, kind of just calling somebody out point blank.
Totally agree, because I know Ned Yost was asked about this several years ago during a bad stretch for the Royals, and somebody asked him, you know, did you turn over the postgame spread? Did you scream at the guys? And he goes, these are grown men. What do you want me to do? You want me to go scream at him? No, we take care of it in the dugout, and we have our conversations and work it out that way. It's not the old school way where literally they would turn over the dinner table after a game and the guys wouldn't get to eat.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. It's a packed house for family fun day, and everybody's got their jerseys and footballs out because every player has to sign an autograph today. We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender. All right, Nick, we thought the last game Sporting would bounce back a little bit because, you know, they had the 10 days off. Guys get a chance to recharge. It was a home game, FC Dallas. Crowd was amped. It didn't happen. So now I'm thinking, I'm always kind of grasping for straws here, just not plastic straws in California. So I'm kind of grasping at this. Maybe getting back into a regular routine of having, you know, playing every Saturday or Sunday is a little bit better for Sporting's style of play.
I think so. You know, and knowing Peter and kind of how he does things, you know, he wants guys to get the games, competitive games, right, not just in practice. So, you know, Bob Ganser, my former coach here in Kansas City, was the same way. You know, he didn't want us to really go too many days with having off, which as a player, you're like, you know what, I kind of need some time off. But you can also understand, you know, why you need to kind of get back into a routine. So I think Peter's probably of the same persuasion. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, you're going to have a stretch of games. You need guys to be sharp. And the games that Sporting has forthcoming aren't going to necessarily be easy. You know, they're sitting in fifth. You know, a loss here or there could drop them below kind of this cutoff line. A win here and there could kind of continue to keep their head above water. So things, I think, will change. You've also got a change in the weather. And, you know, I kind of berate this point all the time, and I don't think, you know, late. lay people probably understand enough. You know, traveling coast to coast, different environments is very difficult. I think the players here in Kansas City, I'm sure the Chiefs feel the same, are very lucky that you have such a diverse weather system here, because you're able to kind of do it all. You know, it's not too cold, it's not too hot. Yes, it is humid, but you know, you're not in Denver where it's kind of perfect weather all the time and cool at night. So I think the weather tends to help the players here in Kansas City, because you want it to be a little bit more difficult than easy, especially as you train every day. So getting guys healthy, honestly, Brad, I think is probably the biggest point that I would probably push. And then the fact that, you know, Sporting KC just needs to tighten up things in the back. I think Eichel Parr probably had one of the worst games I have ever seen him play. I could probably say that I also had a bad game or a dozen at some point in my career. I know he will bounce back. But for Sporting KC to get into the playoffs, the veteran pillars that I call them, they have got to do well. And then the other guys, you got to fill in and do your job as well.
All right, Nick Garcia, a couple more things here before we let you go. I know you're busy coaching at for Brookside Soccer, and you probably got, what, 10 practices today or something?
just a referee meeting. That is it.
Okay, just some refereeing, so prepare to be yelled at by parents who don't know the rules. So that's now my 14-year-old just started refereeing for Brookside Soccer in the spring, and after his first game, he came home, and I said, so how was it? And he goes, man, there's some people.
Yeah.
But you gotta, I told him, you got to tune it out. So one more thing to look back at was the MLS All-Star game, which was played this week. And I asked you last week if it was still important or relevant, and I think you had kind of said it's a great marketing tool because it's all over ESPN, and they're talking about all day, and they have players on all these shows all day long. So I tuned into some of the game, and it's tied 1-1, going to the finish. I'm like, okay, it's a draw. I mean, this is basically an exhibition game. No, they had penalty kicks. Did you know the All-Star game had penalty kicks?
You know what? I didn't know until I, too, watched the last probably 25 minutes, and my boys were asking me, did you know why it does, Brad? So the biggest reason is there has to be a winner and a loser. There is prize money associated with it.
Oh, okay.
So that is why there ultimately had to be someone who got a bigger share of the pie, and someone got a little bit lesser.
I was a little surprised, and no offense to Graham Zusi, but considering the goal-scoring power on the MLS team, I was a little surprised he was first out of the box for the MLS team to take the penalty kick.
I was as well. You know what? I'm surprised that Ilya didn't have an opportunity to step up as well. And I thought at times the MLS All-Stars looked pretty good. I thought, honestly, Ilya Sanchez, for me, for the MLS All-Stars, was probably one of the most consistent and best guys. Now you understand why that guy is such a good passer of the ball. He has the vision. He has the speed. He does things within his own wheelhouse, and he makes his teammates look phenomenal. I mean, there were so many balls that he played forward, splitting a couple defenders, giving Fernando Adi a couple opportunities to go forward and score some goals. So it was great to see, Zusi and Ilya play. I was just unfortunate that, in front of 72,000 people, that MLS didn't come up to victory.
Yeah. What I really like, too, you mentioned Ilya. The broadcast team was raving about Ilya because he does a lot of the work that it never shows up in the box score or the stats unless you go deep down and look at passing accuracy and things like that. But the broadcast crew really highlighted his skills during that game, and I thought that was great.
Agreed.
Okay, so the funny part for me was at the end, MLS missed. Who was it who missed? Was it Bradley Wright Phillips?
Yep.
He banged it off the post. So all Juventus has to do is make their last penalty kick, and it's over. And I can't remember who took it for Juventus, but the player who scored, knowing it's an exhibition game and he's really not emotionally invested in it, reacted like, all right, that was okay. That was kind of cool. And the team just kind of walked out there like, all right, let's back to the hotel, get our bags, and back to Italy.
It was a little anticlimactic. I would agree with you on that. There's a steady chance going off or anything like that. So who knows? Maybe in the future they can kind of change it up a little bit.
All right, Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Kansas City Wizards defender. Enjoy your day. Enjoy refereeing, and hopefully it's the folks on the sidelines cut you some slack here and there. You can just turn around and show them your championship rings, by the way.
Yeah. All right, Brad. So, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender here, joining us talking MLS. Sporting KC tonight on the road at Houston. You can hear the game live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the pregame show at 7:30. Kickoff at 8 o'clock, and then Dave Borchardt will have the final whistle immediately after the game, which should be right around 10 o'clock. All right, we're coming up on a break, and then we'll have one final segment before hour number two. In hour number two, Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News will join us. He's up here at Chiefs training camp, and he's part of the new podcast over at Channel 41 called Fourth and One. So he'll join us in the 10 o'clock hour. In the 11 o'clock hour, Josh Looney, who is the AD at Missouri Western, will join us, and we'll maybe see if we can tell us how long the Chiefs are going to stay here in St. Joe. If he's working on some. Just to set the scene for you here at Chiefs training camp, the fans in front of us, I think you guys thought I was throwing water at you, right? So we're under this tent here. It had been raining off and on over the last week, and the wind just blew, and the tent kind of came up, and a bunch of water poured down on the folks right in front of me, and I think they thought I was throwing water at them, but it's coming off the top of the tent.
You're such a jerk, Brad. Why would you do that?
I know.
They're just out there trying to enjoy practice.
It's coming off the tent. I didn't do anything.
Sure, okay. We'll talk about this during the break. I apologize to those fine people out there.
All right, quick time out here. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Call it how it is. Hit it. I promise I'll swear, Admit it. Yo.
This is a perfect song to play coming out of the break, because this is kind of the theme of Chiefs training camp. When the players are practicing, especially early on in the individual drills and the stretching, they'll pump music from the opposite ends of the field, and this is right in there, absolutely right in there. This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Jed, I see throwbacks coming in. It's Family Fun Day, and it's an absolute mob scene in St. Joe today, because every player has to sign autographs today, and I guess everybody's going to try to get Mahomes. So I'm looking at some throwbacks. There's a Dontari Poe. Okay, that's okay. He wasn't here that long, but so there's Dontari Poe. I see a lot of Tambahalis and Derek Johnsons, and I saw Brandon Flowers earlier.
Nice, beef
love. I like that. I like him. I love Brandon Flowers.
Brandon Flowers was one of my favorites when they drafted him in the second round. I was ecstatic out of VT. Great player.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I have just found the best throwback jersey I've seen at training camp so far, and he's standing right by the 810 tent. The Joe Delaney throwback. That's awesome. I love that.
That is sweet.
Got a thumbs up. Joe Delaney. You know what? I don't see Joe Delaney jerseys anywhere. But what a terrific player and a humanitarian who gave his life trying to save some drowning kids. And it just a tragic story. But Joe Delaney jersey, if you're gonna pick somebody, that's about as stout as it gets right there.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think who else you would use. I mean, we've had many great people in our community, but certainly to give up, your life trying to save people from drowning, that's remarkable. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the best one I've seen. That I don't think anybody's going to win the contest now. I think that's the winner. I think it's over.
I mean, if someone shows up in a Will Shields jersey, that's got to be a close number two, because Will's such a great humanitarian as well.
Love Will. See a Derek Thomas throwback Pro Bowl jersey with the red top with the stars on it, and then the bottom half is white. I see those once in a while. That's a pretty good looking shirt right there.
Anything that's unique to an All-Star game in whatever capacity, like when I see if somebody was walking around town in like a Hosmer All-Star jersey or whatever, that's pretty
like
sweet
that.
In my mind.
What I like about the Hosmer one is that was the year it was in San Diego, right? And didn't they wear, at least for batting practice, they wore the Padres colors of throwback, the dark gold and the brown on top. and then but it have your name on it. I like that one. That was pretty cool.
Sounds right.
By the way, I continue to set the scene here at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. Patrick Mahomes and the ones are running right now. They're in full pads today, tackle to the ground. But the drill that's going on right now is basically the center, the quarterback, a tight end, a couple of receivers, and a running back. And Mahomes just aired it downfield, and that was – oh, he's running away the other way. That was Chris Conley. So kind of a deep 20-yard route down the field and hit Chris Conley in stride, and they're not hitting in this – particular drill because it's not 11 on 11. So good. This crowd, Jed, I'm telling you, this crowd is waiting to explode. They want to see Mahomes throw it 400 yards, like pulling out the driver at a golf range. They
Uncle
want to
Rico,
see it. Yes,
throw it
they
over
want to throw
mountains.
It over a mountain. That's exactly what they want to see. There's a collection of trees on the opposite end of the field that's about 40 yards beyond the goalposts. They want to see him go that far. They're just you can feel the excitement. Like I said,
the anticipation for Patrick Mahomes, it's still, to me, so baffling because the Chiefs have never drafted a quarterback in the first round in my lifetime up until Patrick Mahomes. So the anticipation for him is so unreal. I mean, just for him to do anything, like you said, just out there to go uncork a 50-yard pass to Tyreek Hill when no one can touch him? I don't get it.
Sure. Well, and I sat through the first-round draft pick of Todd Blackledge when I was a kid, and that was horrific. He had a little bit of hype, but that draft pick was based on a bowl game. He wasn't going to be Dan Marino or Jim Kelly or anybody else. Now Chris Jones is getting the crowd hyped. You can hear all the cheering. That's Chris Jones. I've been telling you about him all week. He's been fantastic with the fans out here. He wants everybody to get excited. There's fans over here by the 8-10 tent because Stephen St. John is here. You know, Jed, when I come out here and I'm talking on the radio, nobody really cares. I mean,
nope, they sure don't.
Stephen St. John walks in here and all of a sudden it's a party.
Well, Stephen St. John is also like the quasi-mayor of St. Joe. Spent with his time there at Mo West, so
yeah,
he's spent the past 2 weeks up there. He probably has the family with him and the wife, so yeah, St. John is certainly can do no wrong in St. Joe. I'll put it that way.
No.
So if you don't get the same kind of treatment, I wouldn't take it to you personally.
I'll bet if he got, like, pulled over for a speeding ticket, he'd roll down the window and just say, SSJ here, and they'd be like, okay, sir, sorry. Sorry to bother you. Free to go. So Stephen St. John is up here if you want to stop by the 810 tent. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News coming up in the next hour. He's up here training camp. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. We'll also do Jed Lines next hour, which will be fun. Could be sports, could be news, could be entertainment, could be weird, could be wild, could be wacky. So back after this timeout, we've got two more hours to go here from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.